It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
From ESPN to Fox. From ESPN to OutKick. But it isn't the story of Will Cain. It's the story of Charlie Arnold. It's the Will Cain podcast on Fox News Podcast. What's up? And welcome to Friday. As always, I hope you will download, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your audio entertainment, at Apple, Spotify, or at Fox News Podcast. It has been my promise to you. It has been my principle to always be absolutely honest, to be real, to be authentic with you, that this relationship is built on trust. I know that many of you are wondering, and I know that many of you have asked, hey, what happened with Tucker Carlson? Obviously, I don't know. And to be honest, if I knew, it's not really my place to talk about the inner workings of Fox. What I can tell you is this. I, like you, was stunned. I know many people are left wondering what to feel. All I can tell you is that Tucker Carlson's original thinking and independence were one of the reasons that I chose to join Fox. And my pledge to you, not just at ESPN, not just at Fox, but my pledge in our relationship, that is that I will always do my best to be as transparent, as real, and as authentic, and to pursue independence and original thought every time we get together. Tucker is a friend of mine. I'm a fan, and I will forever be indebted to the advice and the opportunities that he gave me at Fox. And now, I will do my job, just like you, just like Tucker Carlson. My guest today is a former colleague of mine at ESPN. Her name is Charlie Arnold. Charlie hosted First Take, Her Take, a podcast at ESPN, and often sat in on First Take to moderate the debates between Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, or Stephen A. Smith and Will Cain. She recently made the move over to OutKick, where she will be hosting a morning show for Fox. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Charlie Arnold.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Charlie Arnold, welcome to OutKick. Welcome to Fox. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you again. I had no idea we'd be coworkers again, but I'm so excited about it.
Why? Why are we coworkers again? What are you doing over here? What brought you from ESPN to OutKick?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons that brought me over. Obviously, traditional sports media is going in one direction, ESPN included. And when I was made aware that a place like OutKick exists and I met Clay Travis, who founded OutKick, and learned about their goals and the direction they wanted this company to go in, and the ability to give talent their freedom of speech and the ability to freely think. It's just a really exciting prospect because for so many years, I've had a lot of opinions that I've had to keep bottled up. And now, especially because the landscape of sports, which, you know, has gotten so politicized, has gone in the direction that it has, it's just gotten to a point where I can't keep my opinions to myself. So I needed to come to a place that would allow me to express those freely. So here I am at OutKick.
I want to dive into what those opinions might be that you're excited to now share at OutKick. But let's talk for a minute about the way you felt at ESPN. You know, it's interesting. People often ask me about my experience at ESPN, and I didn't feel really, Charlie, while I was there, stifled. Now, I may have been a unique
a unique outlier at ESPN, wherein I was given a level of freedom or embraced or allowed to go in places that maybe a lot of other people weren't comfortable going. But I left ESPN when I did, Charlie, because I was interested in talking about things that I knew were outside the purview of sports. I was ready to embrace not just sports, but politics. Was it your experience at ESPN that you, while there, didn't feel free to talk about the things that you wanted to talk about?
Well, the interesting thing is when you left, listen, we've been heading in a certain direction as a country for a while now, but in the past few years, things have really intensified. And I would say they've really intensified since you've left. We're now, sports aren't completely separate from politics anymore or separate from the news. Whereas at one time people would turn to sports as a way to distract themselves from everything else that was going on in the world. Now, when you turn on sports, you're immediately reminded of everything that's going on in the world. So I think just in these past few years, so many issues have come about that have just completely seeped into the world of sports, where now you can't just talk about sports. There's a lot of issues that need to be addressed alongside. And so that's at the point at which I felt like I needed to say certain things when subjects were broached, such as let's look at the COVID pandemic, of all of the mandates that we were forced to abide by, all that the athletes were forced to abide by for several years. We look at the trans athlete debate that's going on right now. I mean, these are all very much sports issues now that we're not allowed to speak about at ESPN just because they're so politically charged and the right answer isn't the one that ESPN wants to hear.
So you're right, Charlie. And I think that things have changed since I left ESPN in 2020. You know, I was there through some fairly tense moments and times in their own right. I was there during the Donald Trump era, during the Colin Kaepernick issue. And at the very end of my tenure was COVID and George Floyd. And I'll tell you, people would come up to me at ESPN behind the scenes, and they'd say things to me like, hey man, I really agree with what you are saying, but they didn't feel whatever it is they needed to feel. I don't know what they needed to feel, but they didn't feel that feeling in order to share those opinions themselves. I can imagine that only intensified as it metastasized into issues like trans issues or the mandates around COVID. But would you say in your time at ESPN, was it that you didn't feel whatever it is, that liberation, that support you needed to feel to share those opinions, or that you were told not to share those opinions on ESPN?
Well, I'll tell you, I always play it very safe. I've learned in this business that it's better to play it safe. There's always the mentality of some, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Well, we all know how that works. It's definitely does not go that way in the broadcasting industry. So I've always played it very safe. Even in terms of just tweeting out something so innocent seeming, occurs to me, how might someone interpret this? I just delete it and I don't send it out. So then imagine trying to talk about these larger issues that you know are super charged up and that Everybody has very aggressive takes on. I just felt in my position, I wasn't necessarily asked for my opinion. So sharing it would be me stepping outside of a box that I was put in, to begin with. And then B, even if there was a place for my opinion, which to be honest, there was. I hosted a podcast on a weekly basis, First Take, Her Take, where we did get into topics that we weren't able to cover on air. And I still felt uncomfortable just because I knew that my opinions might not be so popular. And I wasn't there to ruffle any feathers. I wanted to get my paycheck. I wanted to do my job. I wanted to make my bosses happy. And, I knew that ESPN wasn't the end all be all for me. I felt that for a while. And once the right opportunity came across, it was just like, okay, just keep your mouth shut for a little while longer. Soon enough, you will be able to speak.
You know, I totally get that. That's and that's a rational human motivation. Really, honestly, I think, especially when you highlight, it wasn't what was asked of you in your job. I always got that. I was asked to go and give my opinions and and, you know, let them fly. So there was a level of, I would not say, and I don't think ESPN would want me to say that there was endorsement of my opinions. I don't think that, but that's not what's implied. There's an openness to my opinions. And it's hard to ask you when hosting in the moderator seat at First Take to jump in there, you know, and say the things that I might have said. I never knew. How about this, Charlie? I didn't know when I was at ESPN that you, in fact, actually, while we sit here today, I don't know what your opinions may be. So, like, I didn't know them then, and I don't know them today. I don't know right now what your opinions are on COVID, or I think you've shared some on trans rights or trans issues in sports, or many of the race issues that got involved in sports. I don't know where you are, and I didn't know when we were together at ESPN.
Are you asking for some for me to share some of those opinions now?
Let's because do it. Let them fly. Yeah, if you feel absolutely. This freedom now, Charlie, then let's go.
I feel the freedom. And you know what? I just have to say before I start, Will, you always, I really appreciate it because you always took an independent approach. It was always very obvious that your approach to subjects was different than those at ESPN because A, you have a different background, but B, you did come in and it wasn't expected of you to, you know, fall into, I guess, the regular way at ESPN. But I always would hear you speak on First Take because, you know, as a fill-in and because you were filling in for either Max or Stephen A. at the time, we got to work together quite a bit. And I always really respected your opinions. And there were so many times I wanted to be like, yes! But of course, then it's like, wait a second, what? What, Charlie? What are you agreeing with?
And that probably wouldn't have gone well for you, by the way.
No,
at the
time. And that being said, also, when I was on the show a few times, and this was, you know, in the thick of COVID, and we were talking about all the mandates and all that, and I was always mind blown by most of the mandates, I would have to just sit there and stew, and I'm like, oh, I can't say anything. And it was a little bit difficult, but
I can imagine.
You know, as far as COVID goes, I think from the beginning, No one knew what was going on. So we all wanted to play it safe and you wanted to, you know, it was a very precarious time. And looking back, it's mind-blowing what we lived through and what I'll have to pass along to my children one day of saying, oh, you have no idea. We weren't allowed to go outside. We had to wear masks. Everything was shut down. I mean, it's just bizarre to think about. But I think that as we got more information and we learned that social distancing wasn't proven to be as effective as maybe they had claimed in the beginning, masks to be probably, you know, much more ineffective than they were originally said to be. And then you saw, like, there was just all the kind of, what's that word when things are like oppositions of, you know, having one mandate versus the other. You know, you'd have all the athletes masking up and having to social distance, but then you'd bring in crowds of people who didn't have to abide by those same rules to watch those athletes in the same setting. And it just, none of it made sense at some point. But things were still reported only in one direction as per ESPN and in most of the other traditional sports networks. And we were never able to question, is this the right move? We just accepted it, reported it. And there was no argument as to could there be another way.
Was that the breaking moment in your mind?
Difficult.
Or like, is that, you know, was there a moment and you're like, I can't do this anymore. It's too indoctrinated or doctrinaire. It's too one-sided. Was it COVID that sort of like, I don't know, opened your eyes or your mind or changed your mind?
Yeah, I think in COVID, a lot of people realize that there's not just one way of going about things. I mean, the whole world of broadcasting changed during COVID. And I think that you kind of realize that I don't need to follow this super traditional path in order to be successful and in order to get my points across. And, you know, you also realize that when you do work for certain corporations, you are expected to follow their guidance and their rhetoric. I just realized, I honestly think the COVID was definitely a catalyst. But once these trans issues started coming to light, it's just such a common sense issue. And Will, when I tell you that since announcing my job at OutKick last week and people saw me on America's Newsroom last week talking about the trans athlete issue, I have had several women from ESPN reach out to me and say, thank you so much for being the voice that we are not able to be. And it's interesting because I knew they existed, but you just never hear about it. But there definitely is a swell. And I just hope that eventually it gets to the point where more women feel comfortable to speak up, because at some point, when enough of us speak up, what are they going to do about it? There's nothing they can do. They're not going to get rid of everybody, or at least they'll be forced to address the issue in a way that both sides of this argument have to be heard on a regular basis.
I hope that's
true. By traditional media.
I hope that's true. That's something I've noticed that you are speaking out on. You're talking about these trans athletes in sports. And so what you just described happened to you with trans athletes, all these women that have come up to you now behind the scenes, former colleagues at ESPN, was, like I described earlier, what I would hear on various issues. And so it kind of makes me wonder, when I was at ESPN, I actually have fond feelings and memories from my time at ESPN. I really enjoyed it. And I do too.
It was a great place to work. I have friends that I will keep for a lifetime, but it doesn't change the fact that, you know, certain opinions are not welcome there.
Okay, so what I felt at ESPN was this, that there was definitely a group consensus on a whole host of issues, right? And if you broke the group consensus, then, you know, I was pretty cool with everybody in the hallways, the vast majority of people in the hallways, right? At least to my face. They were all cool to me and they would talk with me. But you would get the sense that I'm definitely the outlier here. I'm definitely the maverick in having the opinion. I'm curious, do you think you were a maverick on the issue of, you're a maverick, but there might be more people that agree with you behind the scenes? That's what I learned about all these things. They would come up to me and they'd say, you know, I agree with you, but I'm never going to say it. It was on the issues during my time. Do you think that's the same it is with the trans issue at ESPN? Like,
Absolutely.
I was going to say, I wasn't there for a lot of the trans debate the way it's taken off now. But I'm wondering if it's the same as the COVID and the race debates, wherein you walk the hallways and there's this feeling of, I can only really have one opinion publicly, but everybody quietly will come to me and say, I'm 100% with you. Do you think it's like that with the trans sports issues?
I definitely believe it's like that. I think there's still a lot of people who, even though they feel that way, will still never say anything to me, even in private, because everyone that's approached me, it's been very quiet. But I think there's a lot of people that, unfortunately, a lot of people feel guilty for feeling a certain way about the trans issue as just you know, one issue on its own. They feel guilty. They think, you know, am I in the wrong? Am I not progressive? Am I not an advocate for equal rights? Like, people, the brainwash is so real these days, where people feel guilty for having
being
their own
rational
opinion. It's very, very upsetting. I think that a lot of it, you have to think past yourself, because, for example, I don't have children yet, but one day when I do, I think of, what's their life going to be like? What if they're athletes? What is it going to be like for them? Because I know, Will, growing up as an athlete, if this was an issue when I was in high school, I would be beside myself. I would be really hurt as a woman, as an athlete, to think that, you know, why is this being taken away from me? Why do we not have our own space where we can feel safe and comfortable and have success without men imposing themselves into it? So I think that a lot of women are being very short-sighted right now if they do not admit to themselves that this is something that shouldn't be happening. And I just hope that eventually their mindset can evolve.
I can't believe that the issues of trans athletes in sports has become something at ESPN that there's really only one allowable thought. I can't believe that one too has gone the way of the absolute consensus that everyone is supposed to pretend to agree with. Hey, you brought up your past. You and I, when we knew each other at the time, you know, I always knew you were involved in WWE. You brought up your background as an athlete. So tell us a little bit about, like, where your involvement with WWE and how you got there.
So it was just one of those right place at the right time kind of moments for me as far as WWE was concerned. I was backstage at a WWE event with my friend Tony Khan, whose father owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Tony now is the owner, president of AEW All Elite Wrestling, which is really the first direct competitor to WWE in a long time. So I was there with Tony, and we were just waltzing around backstage, and I happened to run into the head of talent relations at the time, who I recognized from the reality show Total Divas, which used to air on E. And I at that point was in between jobs. I had been a local sports anchor in Indianapolis, my hometown, the 2 years prior. I decided I didn't want to continue on there. I was looking to move to, in my mind, probably a regional sports network was realistic at that point. And I ran into Mark Carano, who again at the time was head of talent relations. And I said, hey, I'm a sports broadcaster. All I'm asking is for you to look at my reel. If you have any feedback, let me know. And that's it. So after a while, he got back to me and said, oh, this is really good. I passed it along to Michael Cole, who's one of the lead commentators on WWE. And he called me right away and said, we'd love to bring you in for an audition. Just want you to know, we don't have a position at this time, but we want to bring you in. So when one arises, we might be able to, you know, have you as an option. And simultaneously, I actually had verbally committed to being a sports anchor in DC at the Fox owned and operated station there. So they were going to bring me in, kind of let me do my own thing. At that point, I had a self-created web series that I called Backtalk Ball, which was kind of a comedic take on sports. So I go to WWE's tryout. I'm super loose and carefree. I already have a job. Who cares? They don't even have a job for me. I ended up killing the audition, as it does happen when you don't care about something, right?
Right.
And then next thing you know, they called me and they said, hey, actually, we just had one of our announcers leave, which was Brandi Rhodes, for anyone familiar, Cody Rhodes' wife. And next thing you know, there was a position available. And I was in touch with like a few people here and there that I went to for advice, one of them being a lady in the talent relations department at ESPN. And they all said, you should go to WWE. This sounds like a really cool opportunity and one you probably will not want to take later in life. So that was that. I ended up being there for almost 5 years, did pretty much everything I could as far as broadcasting went there, and then simultaneously was hired by ESPN about midway in, and then I left WWE and went full-time at ESPN. So it's been a cool ride so far.
I love that moment. You walk up to the talent executive backstage. I mean, because that's how it, I've often told my story on how I got started in this, and mine was I sent an email by guessing at the email address of the president of CNN at the time. I had done some stuff for free for Fox and for National Review. And like you said, I put together a reel and I just emailed him and said, hey, you need somebody like me over there. And he responded, you're right. Why don't you come in and let's talk? And that got me an audition,
wow.
which I killed. But the point isn't that. Like, the point is you got to be willing to put it out there. And the percentage of it happening, the likelihood of it happening is low, but that can't stop you, right? From, you got to strike when you see that moment. I love that story.
Yeah. So it's been I was actually asked earlier today, by someone from Fox News Digital, did you ever imagine ending up at a place like Outkick and Fox? You know, in 2016, when you started at WWE, would you imagine this is where your career would have taken you? And I said, no. I said, but then again, I didn't really realize that some of the issues, like we've already gone over, would be issues that we'd be dealing with today, mm-hmm. In sports, as a woman, just, you know, leaving your home, you know, in the middle of the, it's everywhere you go, these issues are present. And I had no idea, but realizing that I have strong opinions and am so passionate, I'm proud to be a leader where I can speak for the silent majority, it seems right now, for those who can't speak on the subject matter.
All right, so what does that mean? What are you going to be doing? As we talked about, you now feel free, we're going to hear these opinions, and you're at Outkick. So what does that mean? What will you do for Outkick?
So I'm going to be co-hosting a show that will be launching before football season at some point. It's going to more than likely be a morning show. So the first thing you wake up to each day, we're going to, you know, give you everything you need to know. Obviously, sports-centric show, but being that, like we already talked about, there's so many issues in sports that are relevant in pop culture, in society, in news, in politics. There's going to be a little bit of everything. And the beauty of the show, never having seen the light of day yet, is there's so much creative freedom. We can make it exactly what we want it to be. And there's a solid chance from day one, it's going to be different than what the show you see on day 7 versus day 14 versus day 30. So it's going to be ever evolving. And I'm just super excited because I think that, you know, I have a lot of energy that a lot of people haven't been able to see from me quite yet. And here we go, full speed ahead.
Who's your co-host?
That is to be determined. We are sprinkling some names about right now. We're going to
Isn't our boss right there, like auditions? Gary? Isn't Gary like right there? You can just ask him.
No,
isn't
Gary,
he
had to go upstairs for a call, so he's not right here. But we have some great names in the mix right now. But you know, chemistry is a big part of it. And we want to find someone who can match my energy and bring their own sense of whatever it is that they're passionate yeah. about. And so it's whatever it is, though, because I also will have my hand in having a say who it is. I promise you it's going to be someone fantastic.
And where? Where are you going to do the show from? Are you going to, so Outkick is, a lot of it is based out of Nashville. Of course, Fox has its offices in New York. Where are you going to be geographically? Do you know?
So I will be based here in New York. This is where I've lived for a little over 6 years now. So my life is in New York at this point. And so I'm going to be doing it out of the Fox headquarters. My co-host, good question. I would love a world in which they're at Fox, because they're so, like, for us right now, Will, like, nothing is in person anymore. So I would love having yeah. a body in the same room as me, but it could end up being a situation like this where they could be in Florida, or they could be in Nashville, or they could be in, who knows?
Well, listen, Charlie, Australia. I think it's super exciting. This is a big hire for Outkick to bring you over. You're an incredible talent. You paid me those compliments earlier, and those are appreciated. I want you to know that I always thought you were an incredible talent, and this is a coup for Outkick to bring you over from ESPN. You are a thoughtful person, and to me, that is one of the most important characteristics. As long as, I don't even know, like, if somebody is thoughtful, it is almost by default that they are authentic and real. You can't be thoughtful while parroting or faking it. And I'm glad you're in a situation where you feel that you are free to share exactly who you are with the audience. And again, I think a morning show on Outkick is going to, as they continue to build that network out, and that continues to go places that are desperately needed in the sports environment. There's a desperate need for an outlet that reflects the values of, as you described it, the silent majority of Americans. And I think it's exciting. I'm glad I'm going to get to see you around right there in New York. And I imagine we'll see you on Fox. I'm imagining we're going to see you on Fox News from time to time. And you and I will see each other around.
I was
both.
On America's Newsroom last week. I'll be on Hannity and Varney and Co. this week. And hopefully that's just beginning. You know, you won't be able to avoid me. You're going to try, but you won't be able to.
That's awesome, Charlie. So good to see you again. I'm excited for you and for Outkick.
Thank you, Will, so much. And I am so excited to be working with you again. So cheers to the future.
There you go. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Charlie Arnault. Again, check her out at Outkick every morning. I'll see you again next time.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.